I want to talk about eagerly desiring the gift of prophecy today. Amen. And I want to start off with a couple of passages of scripture, words that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And I'm just delighted that Wendy already shared some of this in her prayer this morning. So it's always good to have confirmation of what the Lord wants to say. So I want to start off by some words that the Lord spoke in John chapter 14. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." And then for verse 25, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then some more words from John chapter 16 about the work of the Holy Spirit. "Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." Amen. And Jesus said, "It's for your good that I'm going away," to the disciples. And I sort of had to think about that one, because what could be more good than being with the Lord for, you know, the extent of his earthly ministry? Walking with him, talking with him, listening to him, watching him perform miracles. It must have been absolutely wonderful. And yet God said, you know, the Lord said, "It's for your good that I'm going away." Because he could only be in one place at one time. But when the Holy Spirit came, he could be everywhere and live in each one of us. And we're told, you know, that he will guide us into all truth, that he will speak to us. Jesus, on another occasion, shared what's become one of my life scriptures, and that's, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." I think all of us can say this morning, we belong to God, therefore we can hear what God says. And I want to talk about prophecy itself this morning. And again, a bit like Duncan last week, I'm going to put my head in the lion's mouth. A lot of churches believe that the gifts of the Spirit finished with the early churches. And I want to nail my colours to the mast today and say that I believe everything in his book for today.
That's right.
Amen. If there's anything that I say this morning that you don't agree with, then please come and talk to me about it afterwards. But, you know, just before God, I just want to share what he's laid on my heart to speak on this morning. Just have another look at the diagram that Duncan showed us last week about the gifts of the Spirit. This section of the gifts of the Spirit causes more controversy in the church than any other, and that's the tongues, interpretation and prophecy, the vocal gifts. It's so sad because they were designed in the first place to build up the church, not to divide it. It's the Spirit of truth that guides us into all truth. And I know from personal experience what a difference prophetic words spoken into my life, into our life as a couple, have made to us. When we felt God was leading us to leave behind our home, our jobs, our security, and go into a faith mission and live by faith, it was quite, it was an enormous step. But it was prophetic words spoken to us by two or three different people that made all the difference and made us trust God for this important step that we were going to make. And later on, when we were working in missions, I felt really on my heart that God was leading me to start a work of pregnancy crisis counselling in St. Helens, where we were living. And prayed about it a lot, but on one occasion, when somebody else prayed for me, I had such a powerful prophetic vision of how God saw the unborn child and how God saw mothers who were forced into this, you know, dreadful situation of having to decide what to do about their pregnancies. And that made such an impact on my life, you know, that it changed the whole way I went about everything. And I still see that vision today. It was such a powerful one. You know, for myself, I was always quiet and shy as a child. I would hardly say boo to a goose. Relatives who came to stay used to say, "Isn't she quiet?" You know, I was always reserved, didn't think I had anything to contribute. But God uses some unlikely people sometimes to speak into our lives. And I remember it wasn't long after we'd been saved, all of the family, we'd accepted the Lord into our lives. And Duncan had gone to church one Sunday evening. And I was at home with our two children. And our son Timothy just suddenly said to me, "Mum, you have an awful lot to share. An awful lot that people need to hear. It's just your lack of confidence that stops people hearing it." And I thought, wow. You know, that's my son. But it was a word directly into my heart. And it made all the, such an impact on my life there again. It was my lack of confidence that was stopping people hearing what God wanted them to hear. And when I thought of it from that way round, that's not something I was going to share this morning, but I really felt just now that God wanted me to share that. So, you know, perhaps that's one of you, that God wants to speak through you. God wants to share, you know, his wonderful treasures through you. Is it your lack of confidence that's stopping people hearing it, people receiving that? I pray if it is, that you really take these words to heart and don't let that stop you sharing what God's laid on your heart. Well, I wonder, how do you react to prophecy? With excitement? With dread? Do you weigh prophecy on who delivered it? You know, I could have done it if I'd thought, "Oh, that's my son speaking." I wouldn't have received that from God, and God wanted me to receive that. Are you afraid when you think God's given you something to share? Are you afraid to fail? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, just for a few minutes. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Paul tells us we should eagerly desire spiritual gifts, particularly prophecy. Do you eagerly desire this gift, I wonder, this morning? I think Duncan shared a little bit last week. Our son changed his job and got quite a good allowance towards a car. So he decided in the summer that he was going to have a new car. So he looked all around all the different garages, pored through all the magazines, and then finally decided on this car. So a photo of this car appeared on Facebook. And then, you know, week after week it was what was happening with this car. And then it had arrived in this country. So another photo of it on Facebook. And then it was going to be the following week, but it was put off and that was dreadful. And then it arrived the following week. And of course he was absolutely over the moon. He certainly eagerly desired this car. We haven't heard any more about it since he got it, but he really eagerly desired it. And that just sort of gave me a picture of how we should eagerly desire the gifts that God has for us. God longs to pour out good gifts on his children. The Holy Spirit, though, is a gentleman. He won't force us. He won't embarrass us. And church, you know, we're free to fail. You're free to get it wrong. We're not going to come down on you like a ton of bricks if you get it wrong. You know, you're free to try, free to fail. Gosh, I've failed no end of times myself. But praise God, you know, he brings us through it. So what is this thing called prophecy? A definition I found by a man called Peter Wagner was: the gift of prophecy is the special ability that God gives to members of the body of Christ to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his gathered people, a group among them, or any one of his people individually through a divinely anointed utterance. And the Greek word prophetia means to speak for another. So when we prophesy, quite simply, we're speaking for God. And in the listing of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm just looking at the gift of prophecy, which is available to all members of the church, not the specific ministry or the office of a prophet. So it's the gift that's available to each one of us. In Joel 2, it speaks about our sons and our daughters prophesying. And Paul says that he wishes all would prophesy. Therefore, the gift of prophecy is available to each and every one of us. We can all speak words shared by the Lord. We were taught many years ago by a Bible teacher called Ken McGreevy, who we really loved and respected, to look at the law of first mention. Now, if we're looking at a particular subject, where is it first mentioned in the Bible? And that can teach us an awful lot about what we're looking for. Give us a clear foundation for our study. And in Numbers 24 is where I first came across a description of what prophecy is. And starting at verse 1, which is about Balaam. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to sorcery as at other times, but turned his face toward the desert. When Balaam looked up and saw Israel encamped, tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered this oracle. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor. The oracle of one whose eye sees clearly. The oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. Just say that little bit again. The oracle of one whose eye sees clearly. The oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. Eyes seeing, hearing the words of God, having knowledge from the Most High, seeing a vision and being, most importantly, in an attitude of worship before the Lord and having eyes opened. So that's a little bit about what is prophecy. We could go into it much more deeply, but, time's against us this morning. So what's the purpose of it? It builds up, it encourages, and it consoles. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter by Jesus. And that is one who goes alongside and does comfort us. But the word comfort comes from the old Latin com forte, which means with strength. And in the Bayeux Tapestry, which depicted the Battle of Hastings, there's a section of it that says, King William comforts his troops. And the picture of him there is with his spear at the backside of his warriors, just pushing them forward into battle. And that is something as well that the Holy Spirit does with us. He spurs us on to action. So he draws alongside, but he also spurs us on. It's a sign for unbelievers. On outreach in Kenya several years ago, we were doing what was my worst nightmare, which is door-to-door evangelism. And some people love it, but for me it sort of makes me quake even to think about it now. I love speaking to people about the Lord, but going door-to-door, cold sort of calling, is just not for me. But in Kenya it was very different. It was, oh, come in, tell us about Jesus, tell us more, have a cup of tea, sit down, tell us, we just want to know. They were so hungry. And we came to this house and there's this man sitting outside in his garden. And he didn't want to know. He really didn't. And then suddenly I had this thought came into my head from nowhere. Well, it was from God, but it felt like it was from nowhere. That he had bad dreams. So, sort of taking a big gulp, I said to him, do you have bad dreams? And then as I said that, which was a word of knowledge that we'll come to at a later date, the Lord kept giving me more and more about what these dreams were and how this man was feeling. And he just sort of really looked aback and said, tell me more, how does this God know what's going on in my life, what my dreams are about? And we managed to lead into the Lord through that sign, shame as an unbeliever. So prophecy is a particular word for a particular person at a particular time. It's not the equivalent of this, the Bible, which is God's specific word for all people at all times. And it should always be judged by God's word. So how do we exercise this gift of prophecy? And St. Paul says clearly, always follow the way of love. We must always make this what we follow at all times. And eagerly desire it. The revelation which is from God can come through meditating on the scripture. That's one of the best ways to get started on it. One of the easiest ways. Can come through visions, through dreams, through impressions, a word or a picture, an audible voice. I on two occasions heard the audible voice of God, but only on two very important occasions in my life. It's normally just an impression or a whisper that you hear. Or very rarely an angelic visitation. It can come in times of prayer. It's so powerful when we stop and listen to what God's saying and allow Him to lead us to pray what's on His heart. And sometimes we need to go back to God for more revelation and confirmation of what He's saying. I remember in our early days as Christians, Duncan and I were praying for a couple who had just come into our church in Cambridgeshire and been saved, and were so thirsty to know more and more about God, and we were praying for them as a couple. And suddenly this thought came into my head, radishes. Now you can't sort of, when you're praying for people, say the word from the Lord is radishes. It wouldn't go down very well. So, you know, I have to go back to God and say, you know, what are you meaning by this? And I've always been a very keen gardener. And when I went back to the Lord and asked Him what He meant by this, radishes is one of those crops that you can sow, and within, you know, a few weeks, a few days sometimes, the crop is ready. And what God was saying was, you know, these people are going to grow so quickly. They're going to be so fruitful so soon. You know, and that's what God wanted to share with them. And that did come to pass. So prophecy can be spoken loudly or quietly, in song. It's lovely when we have prophetic songs in church. It's beautiful. In poetry, in everyday language. But a famous writer called Michael Green, I remember in his book on prophecy, said it does not rant. It doesn't use bombastic language, you know, it's not unreal. Doesn't declaim or theatrically recite, or it isn't too emotional. It's not always given for now. It may be appropriate for a later occasion. There's no fear of forgetting it, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I've said to you. And sometimes we may even get two or three words, and then it's quite an act of faith to speak it out and allow the Lord to bring the rest. The first words can be like a stopper on a bottle, and when they're spoken, yes, at the top, sort of stopper comes off, and the rest of the words flow out. And the prophecy may only be brief. God's not usually a chatterbox. And you know, a few powerful words like, I am with you. Or, you know, I love you so much. Can be so powerful when given prophetically. And it should always be sought with great humility. It's an honour to be used by God, and it's wonderful to feel that we are being used by God to speak into other people's lives, but it's not an ego trip for the one who brings the prophecy. You know, if you go to one of the nice restaurants around here, and there's so many of them, and a waiter brings you a nice meal, you don't say compliments to the waiter. It's compliments to the one who prepared it. Or if a postman comes and delivers a letter, it's not, you know, thanks to the postman for all these wonderful things in the letter, it's the one who sent the letter. So we must get, you know, the right perspective on this. We're only waiters, we're only postmen, we're only delivering what God has given. You know, we mustn't take the glory for ourselves. After all, God's been known to use a donkey on one occasion to speak to someone. So what are we, you know, to get His message across? And you're probably, in all likelihood, forget the message because, you know, it's not for you, it's for the other person. My friend Lynn, who sadly we lost last year, at the beginning of last year, said to me that years ago I'd shared a picture with her, which was of her and her husband holding hands going up a hill, and at the top of the hill was the Star of David. Now, I couldn't remember anything about that, but it made a big impression on their lives, because they went to have quite a ministry to Jewish people, spent quite a while in Israel, and it was an uphill struggle. So, you know, that had meant a lot to her, but I'd completely forgotten it. It wasn't for me, it was for them. We'd love to see more and more of you bringing prophetic words. You know, it can be daunting or off-putting to come to the front of the church here and say them, but, you know, we're starting small groups again next week. It's an ideal place to practice, to start, or if you're praying for somebody or meditating on God's word, then eagerly desire to hear the Lord speak to you, because, you know, you speak to you.
Yes.
It's a grace gift.
Yes.
It's not earned, we can't earn it.
Sorry.
But it can grow. The more we use it, it's like a muscle, the stronger it will get. Attempt great things from God, for God. Expect great things from God. There's no set way to hear from God. Some people see pictures clearly. Others just get a sense of what God wants to say. Some get a revelation in an instant. Others have to work at it and ask God to make it clearer, like my radishes. When you prophesy, just be yourself. Use your normal language. The key thing is just to make yourself open and not to worry about the method. And don't be one of these people who hears from the Lord and doesn't share it and regrets bitterly afterwards. It's much better to have a go. You know, I'd rather have a fear of God than a fear of man. I wouldn't want to disappoint my Heavenly Father by not bringing what He shares with me. But there's always a possibility of human error. We can have a revelation from God and interpret it wrongly because of our own desires that get in the way. Just supposing one of or two of you felt God was moving you on somewhere else, and, you know, I prayed with you and felt that's what God was saying, but because of the desire in my heart I didn't want you to go, I wanted to keep you here, I could interpret it quite wrongly because of my own selfish desires. So we do have to be careful, we do have to have a safety net. That's why it's important, you know, if you have something in a meeting, to go to the person leading the meeting or to one of the other leaders here and share what God has given you before you give it. Not that we want to stop you, but, you know, it can be for another occasion. It can be something that we want you to go away and pray about a bit more. But we certainly do not want to put you off coming out and sharing what God has given you. And you know, as leaders, we're accountable to God for the church and for what is shared in the church. So we need your prayers for wisdom and discernment in this area. So, I just want to conclude by saying, eagerly desire this gift. Such a precious gift. It makes such an impact on people's lives. Follow the way of love. Step outside that, and 1 Corinthians 13 comes into it. It says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I don't want to be a nothing, do you? So follow the way of love, or we'll be in danger of being nothing. Be brave and step out in faith for what God gives to you. And finally, seek the giver, not the gift. We have to seek the gift, we have to eagerly desire the gift, but more than that, we have to eagerly desire God's presence. You know, times of intimacy with Him, where He can begin to share His heart more and more with us and give us what He wants us to say, what He wants us to share. Amen.
Amen. Amen.